Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There was once a man. He was a normal, ordinary kind of man. There was really nothing special about him. He had a wife. He had children. He had friends, you know, just normal. And each year, usually the evening before Christmas, his family would reach into their closets in search of their holiday church clothes. And he always stressed just a little bit as he donned his shirt that had hung untouched for a year. He had grown taller these past 12 months, but he wasn't quite sure if he had grown a tad bit wider. And so he would take a deep breath, mostly because of stress, but also because it seemed to help him fit into his shirt. And he would pray for that night, at least, his clothing would feel comfortable on him. And when everybody else was dressed, he would gather all of his family into the car, and together they would travel the short distance to their church. Now, he'd grown up in this town. His wife had grown up in this very town also. But neither of them had ever participated in any kind of worship until after they were married and after they had their first child. And he's not even sure how the conversation started, but somehow it started. And they had decided that church would be a good thing for the family. And so began their search. Now, over the next several months of exploration, they tried many different denominations, but they found that none of them fit very comfortably. Many of the churches had things that they both liked, but no church had everything. Some had a beautiful music program. Some had charismatic preachers, and some had wonderful youth programs. But none of them had it all. And eventually then, they did settle on a church. It's a church that they called home. And for that first year, they went kind of regularly. And then the next year, they went a couple of times. And the year after, it was Easter morning, Christmas Eve, and that kind of became the tradition for them. And so this evening, it's like many other years past, he dressed in preparation for the service that he would attend. And his shirt still fit, but it was noticeably more uncomfortable than it had been in years past. Now, during the service, he happened to notice the manger scene. And there in the manger lay baby Jesus. And an unexpected thought entered his mind. As he looked at that manger, all he saw was a baby. But the church, they saw more. They didn't see just the baby. They saw a miracle in the making. And although he had not attended church very frequently, he had attended enough to know the story of God, the story of Jesus. And in fact, at this very moment, the pastor was even reading from the Bible, these verses. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. And God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This was the promised Son that God sent to save the world. This was the one who died on the cross to do exactly that. Now this man, he had attended enough Easter morning services to know that Christ's resurrection was a huge deal for Christians, even if he didn't understand it all. And so these thoughts continued to tug at him. He sees a baby, but they see a miracle in the works. And this miracle, well, that's a difficult one to identify, for it seems to him that there wasn't just one, but several. The first one that he could think of was God the Father sent His Son, but His Son Jesus is also God. How does he even begin to process this miracle? And then this God-man took upon himself the sins of the world. There, right there, second miracle. And through his suffering, God has forgiven us our sins. Miracle number three. And who can forget the resurrection? No wonder they see a miracle lying in the manger, for what else could you call it? Now, instinctively, he tugged at his shirt, the sleeve, because it was just creeping up past his wrist. His shirt just didn't fit any longer. And then it hit him. Is it possible, maybe even just a little possible, that he was experiencing the same thing with Christianity? Could it be? Could it be that this shirt represents who he is and what he believes? Could it be that maybe he is outgrowing this shirt just like he is outgrowing his tepidness of Jesus? He became even more uncomfortable the longer that that thought lingered in his mind. Could it be possible, even just a little, that there was a fifth miracle in the works? A miracle that was happening within his very own heart this Christmas Eve? He silently pondered that. He pondered it for many days after the service. For what would it mean? What would it mean to be drawn deeper into this Christian thing? The proverbial shirt that started this all would have to be what? Discarded? And if so, what would it be replaced with? Would it even fit? Would it fit? Or would he have to change that also? Of course he knew the answer to that last question, even if he wasn't ready to admit it to himself. He recalled the verse from that Christmas service. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. This passage made it very clear, at least to him, that of course he would change. That's what happens when God takes residence in someone. And so you see, it wasn't the act of changing that concerned him. It was the outcome of that very change. What exactly would he be changed into? Or as he had heard somewhere, what would he be transformed into? He didn't know the answers to these questions, but he knew that he probably should. And he figured that the place to start would be in understanding the shirt that he was currently wearing, this proverbial one that was making him feel so uncomfortable, the one that was constraining him, the one that was tightening around him the longer that he thought about Jesus. Now, I'd like to exit the story here. I'd like to exit the story where he begins searching for answers, and I'd like to turn my attention to us this evening. Now, maybe many of you cannot relate to this man at all. Maybe you've grown up in church. Maybe you have a rich understanding of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Maybe the shirt you wear is not a shirt, but a robe of righteousness. And maybe you even know what that means. And for you, each and every week, you attend a church service where you are spiritually fed. But for others, for so many others, church is little more than a baby lying in a manger. And the miracle? Simply invisible to them. But they come to worship. They come to worship, even if it is only a few times a year. They come to worship. Because they know deep down that it's more than a baby, even if they don't know what that more is. For them, for you, if this is you, maybe that shirt of Christianity does feel uncomfortable. Maybe you don't know why. And maybe you don't know how it feels uncomfortable, but you know that it just does. You stress every Christmas when that shirt makes itself known to you. And that shirt clothes you. And you want it to fit. You really do. You want it to feel comfortable. You really do. Maybe. Because just like this man, you're afraid. You're afraid that the comfort you are longing for is a comfort that will come at a price. A price that is far too expensive. You're afraid that you will be changed. That you will be transformed. And you're scared that you won't even recognize yourself. So my message to you this evening is simply this. I don't know. I simply don't know how your life will change. I can proclaim to you the hope that you can cling to in Jesus for eternal life. But that's not your immediate concern. Your immediate concern is much more personal. It's much more intimate. Will your friends continue to know you? Will your friends continue to like you? Will you even continue to know and like you? Will you be discarding this shirt that you have lived in your whole life? A shirt that up until recently has been pretty comfortable. And now you're replacing it with what? Will that be as comfortable? See, these are the concerns. These are the concerns that you have. And these are the same concerns this man had. I quite simply don't know how to answer and respond to them. But I can promise you one thing. I can promise you that the church will walk with you on this journey. I can promise you that this church, the people of St. Mark, will walk with you on this journey. You will not be alone. You are surrounded. You are surrounded by people who love and care for you. People who want to walk with you, to guide you and support you. You won't be alone. So as you search for answers, don't set this aside for another day. It is Christmas Eve. It is time for a new shirt. Don't look in the manger and just see a baby. Look in the manger and see a miracle. A miracle in the making. A miracle that you are a part of right now, right here, tonight. And for all of you who call St. Mark your church home, it's a message here for you as well. And that is to be intentional. Be intentional about seeking out those who are looking for a new shirt. Make connections with them. Make meaningful connections. Deliberate connections with them. Walk with them as they begin to explore and seek and ask and wonder. Help them see that they truly are a part of this miracle in the making. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for your love and mercy that you have shown to us in Christ Jesus. We pray for those who do not yet know you, but are seeking you in their hearts. Draw them to yourself by your Holy Spirit and reveal to them the truth and beauty of your gospel. Lead them to your church where they may find support and guidance from your word and your sacraments. Grant them faith and repentance and make them your children and heirs of eternal life. In your name we pray. Amen.